use your thing. Oops.
Well, Teresa and I just want to say thank you for praying for us while we were gone, and got a little bit of reverb here, so thank you. We were safe the whole time we were there, regardless of what the news says, all right? So not that they were talking about us, but things were happening. But you know what? I don't care where you go in the world, things are happening, okay? There's danger. There is struggle in the midst of a fallen world. And we went and we just had a blessed, enriching time for us. And we just want to say thank you for our prayers. And I also just want to say this. Thank you for your service in this body, in this family, while we were gone. When I'm gone, it verifies this one thing, that church is never about the person who just stands up here. It's about all of you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your services. Thank you for your coming alongside of people. Thank you for coming alongside of Eric and Noir. And as we continue to step into their lives in the midst of their hardship and their pain and the struggles that they're going through, thank you. Thank you for participating in the prep of this service and the one to come next week. Thank you so much. Because it really is all about us being a family, the family of God. And as we step into this particular Sunday, we call it Palm Sunday, and the title, and by the way, Cindy, I may stray far from my notes today, okay? And I just want you to know, but the main passage that we're going to deal with today will be there, but I just want you to understand something, that life in and of itself, life as you and I know it every day, life in the heat of the battle and in the everyday moments of life, sometimes just does not make sense to us. Sometimes it just goes completely sideways. And sometimes even our best laid plans fall apart. Can you identify with me? Sometimes all that we think should happen doesn't happen, and all that we think shouldn't happen happens. And we have to ask the question, why? And you know, one of the things that we've been discussing recently, and especially we've been speaking through the book of 2 Peter, and there's just something that I want to highlight, not out of 2 Peter, but I want to highlight something to you, that we live in the middle of the most incredible, amazing, redemptive story ever told to mankind. It is a story of redemption from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation, the end of the book. It is a story of redemption. It is a story of rescue. It is a story of salvation. It is a story that boggles our minds. It is a story that should, and when I use the word story, please, in our 21st century mindset culture, we have diluted the idea of a story. It is the one and only true story. It is the story of God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place and in my place. Why? So that by faith, which is a gift from Him, that you and I have that opportunity to receive grace, God's forgiveness, God's rescue, adoption back into His family. But one of the things that we need to understand as we think about this redemptive story, there's this piece in Scripture that I want you to turn to with me today. Turn in your tablets, in your Bibles, on your phones, however you get there today. And we're going to read out of Isaiah 53. Because right in the middle of this redemptive story, it all comes down to, it all focuses in on what we would call a horribly beautiful Friday. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, and I'm going to read out the New American Standard, and it says this. In my Bible, it calls it the suffering servant. And it says, who has believed our message? Folks, that's something that you and I, we live in a world today that does not believe the message, the story. It is up to us to live it. But who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, he himself bore, and our sorrow he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, this is not in your text. Listen to what I'm saying, folks. God has caused the iniquity, the sin of us all to fall upon him, Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like the sheep that is silent before its shears. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And by his generation, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilty offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Pray with me. Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to this particular passage of Scripture out of the book of Isaiah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word that was given through your Spirit to Isaiah to pen. And now, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us even today as we ponder the words that are here today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. One of the things that I just want to say here is, you know, as we read, especially as we read prophecies, as we read the Old Testament prophets, sometimes you get lost, right, in all the rhetoric. You get lost in it all, and sometimes it's just like on and on and on, and it's repetitive, and it's like, and for some of us, especially in our culture, it's like, come on, just get with it. Get to it. But one of the things that we need to understand And it is so important as we read the Scripture of God, every word penned from God is about His redemptive story from beginning to end. And here's the thing, and Cindy, I just want you to know this stuff is not going to come up on the screen, okay? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We believe in a sovereign God, amen? That does not mean that God is just all-powerful, which He is, right? Here's the deal about God's sovereignty that we need to get a hold of so that we do not gloss over words that are written here. God has always had a plan for you and for me. He has always had a plan. And sometimes when we read through Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and it's all just awesome and Genesis 3 happens and the fall of man happens and we go, what in the world is going on? God, what were you thinking? God already knew and He already had a plan. His plan, His amazing and wonderful plan is the second piece that I just want to bring out here today, and it is about His grace. So the first thing that we need to understand about God's redemptive story is that God has a plan. The second thing that we need to understand is that God wants to do something, wants to pour out on us something that you and I cannot create, cannot muster up, cannot somehow live out, and that is grace. That in God's grace, He did something for you and for me that we cannot do and cannot accomplish and somehow cannot muster in our lives. God is a God not only with a plan, but God is a gracious God. In Romans chapter 5, it says, for while we were yet unworthy, beginning of that says, God demonstrated His own love that while we were yet unworthy, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. But God is a God with a plan, and He has something that He wants to bestow on you and me, and that is grace. And one of the things I just want to say about grace is this, that it tells me in a thousand different ways. Okay? It tells me in the everyday moments of my life. It tells me in the midst of my marriage. It tells me in the midst of my relationships. It tells me in the midst of my work and your work, your marriage, your family, your relationships. Here's what it tells me. It tells me that God has made a way to deal with my deepest problem. And that's sin. Because one of the things that I am coming, maybe even just coming to grips with, as much as I don't want to acknowledge it, as much as you don't want to acknowledge it, is that I have a problem and you have a problem and it's called sin. And that sin separates me from God. And we could be saying, well, yeah, but Dan, we're all here, and Pastor Dan, we're all here, and we're all in church, and we've all been saved. We've all been saved by His grace. But I want you to understand, because one of the things that we've also been talking about is, yes, the price of sin has been paid for. It has been put to death. Amen? But here's the thing. You and I still have sin within us. You and I still struggle every single moment of our lives, 24/7, with the deepest problem of besetting sin in our lives. And so when you come to this text and you read that God's plan, part of God's plan, it was the plan, was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be persecuted, to be tormented, to be ostracized, to be rejected. He was a man of sorrow. He was forsaken. He was one that people would not look upon. He was despised. And sometimes you and I, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to address that. But Jesus Christ took on what should have been in our place. Jesus Christ took on all that should have fallen on us. And I am humbled. I am broken by that. I am in awe of that. That my God would do that for me. That my God would do that for you. that God in His sovereign plan would bestow upon us a gift that is so incredible. And it came through the rejection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is grace. It is grace. His grace. And one of the things, there's a song that we've sung recently, and I've just come to love just a portion of the chorus, and it says, "Your grace finds me." Folks, it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter where we run. It doesn't matter how hard we try to hide. It doesn't matter how hard we try to live life on our own. I want you to understand something, that God's grace finds you. And it finds you every day. It finds you at your worst, and it finds you at your best. But it finds you. It finds you when you don't want it, and it finds you when you want it. But His grace finds you. Verse 6 really is kind of the pinnacle in this book for me, in this chapter of Isaiah, chapter 53. And it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Folks, that is a picture of the world that you and I live in. One of the old hymns of the faith says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's not speaking to unbelievers, people. That's speaking to you and I today, believers in the Lord Jesus. We are prone to wander. We are sheep. Sheep wander. They wander away. They get distracted. Prone to wander. Prone to leave the God I love. And if it just stopped there, it would be the most tragic story ever written. Wouldn't it? If it was just left there, prone to wander, well, we're all lost. Well, we might as well just go do what we're going to do. We might as well just live the way that we're going to live. But it goes on, and there, right in the rephrase of the verse, it says, "But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him." Folks, one of the things that we need to admit in our everyday life is that outside of God, outside of God's grace, and even in the midst of God and in the midst of His grace, my friends, we need to understand something today, that there will not be a moment in our lives that we breathe that we do not need the grace of God on our hearts and our lives. God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. So in this redemptive story that we're talking about here, God has a plan, and His plan, His sovereign plan, that He's in control of and He has always been in control of, right in the pinnacle of it is grace. And that grace points us to the fact that He has made a way to deal with my and your deepest problem, but that grace would come at an ugly cost. And so at the center, on Palm Sunday, as we are beginning at the beginning of the Holy Week, and as we read all the texts that lead from here to the cross, we need to understand that the most horrible thing that ever happened was the most beautiful thing that ever happened. That is what Isaiah 53 is all about. The most horrible thing that ever happened was for you and for me the most beautiful thing to ever happen. Christ died for you. So in that redemptive picture, God is sovereign. He has a sovereign plan. His sovereign plan includes His grace that He richly, lavishly pours out on us. And I just want you to understand that He pours that out on us every single day of our lives. You know, Teresa and I were on vacation the last couple of weeks. And you know, y'all, when you think of vacation, don't you think about relaxing and having a good time? Is it? Only two of you think that? Okay. So don't you think about it's going to be a wonderful time and everything is going to go great and awesome and we're just going to have this beautiful time and we're going to relax and everyone is going to get along and everyone is going to be happy, right? Are you tracking with me? So you know what? This never happened for Teresa because we have arrived, you know? No, not really. But you know, every once in a while, in this great resort that we were at, which was just beautiful, and they just catered to our every need, and every night they brought chocolates to us. It was just awesome. And that wasn't the pinnacle of my vacation. But I want you to understand something. There was not a day that went by where there was not strife. Not with us necessarily, but in the entire resort where there were not people in conflict with other people. Where husbands and wives who went to get away to enjoy each other and to relax were fighting and doors were slamming and people were marching down hallways. To the point where at one point, Teresa was afraid. And we're thinking, this is vacation. And my friends, it just, for me, as I thought about that, and as I thought about what we're going to speak about today, and as God is just moving my heart today, my friends, God has a plan. And in that sovereign plan, He pours out His grace. And you and I, even as believers today in Jesus Christ, need that grace every day so that you and I can know and understand how to function with one another. That you and I can learn and understand how to deal with one another. So that you and I can learn how to serve one another and love one another and come alongside of one another. And P.S., by the way, sometimes surrender to one another. And sometimes follow rather than lead. And sometimes obey. All the things that all come into relationships, all piled together. And even there on some of the most sunny white beaches that we've been in a long time, there were people that were not at peace. There were people who were frustrated. There were people, folks, bottom line is they were lost. And they needed Jesus Christ. And it's just a constant reminder that no matter what we fill our lives with, no matter how hard we try to make sense out of our life, what looks like disaster may in fact be grace. One of our last days there, we walked a lot. You know, that's part of our agenda. We walk because that's when I talk. Okay, if Teresa wants to talk to me face-to-face, she doesn't get a whole lot out of me, all right? But if we go for walks and we're shoulder-to-shoulder, I'll tell her everything. And we'll talk and we'll dream. And you know, the reason she likes to talk face-to-face when we're sitting down because she likes to write everything down. I don't want it recorded. No, just joking. But later on, we do write because a lot of our dreams and a lot of things that we think about, we write down and we dream about, but just in the sense of talking. But this one particular day, we were coming around the corner of this walkway, and there was a husband and wife that were in the middle of reconciliation. And they were looking at each other, and they were really close, and it was very intimate. And you know, we didn't take that time to jump in and say, hey, how are you guys doing? No, we didn't. But as we just walked by politely, but you could tell that it was intense, but that they were working it out. That's grace, folks. That's God's grace. That's what God's grace empowers you and I to do every day. But it all comes back to a day when Christ had to pay the price so that grace could be poured into us. There's one more component to the amazing story of redemption. It begins with God's redemptive plan, His sovereign redemptive plan, which is all about His grace being poured into us. And here it is, folks. It is when that takes place that you and I can glorify Him. So there's a plan, and there's grace, and there's glory. You see, one of the things, folks, that as we look at this passage and we see and we begin to understand and we do not gloss over what is written on these pages, what Jesus Christ came to do for us, my friends, it leads us to one thing, and that one thing alone is this: praise and glory. It leads us to a place of giving God glory for all that He has done, to be thankful for all that He has not just done once, but that He continues to do in our lives every single day, every moment after moment after moment, because I don't know about you, but I cannot live without His grace. I can't. You can't. I can't live without His plan. And because He has a plan, and because that plan includes grace, which included His Son and what Jesus Christ did and what Isaiah penned some 700 years prior to, you and I, as now part of His family, can give Him glory, can give Him praise. Do we live in a world that's falling apart? It's falling apart, but it's falling into place. Absolutely. And one of the things, folks, is sometimes we get so swept up into what's happening in our world that we forget that God's redemptive plan is falling into place day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, in the big picture of salvation, to the smaller moment-by-moment situations in your life and in my life as we live out Jesus Christ every single day. But it all came at a cost. On what we call Good Friday, isn't that kind of an irony of names? Good Friday? It was good for you, not necessarily for Christ. And yet it was good for Christ because He was doing the will of the Father. As we go through this week, and I don't know what your week is going to bring for you, and this coming Friday we have a Good Friday service, the Tenebrae, and it's not something that we've really observed a lot, and it's just an opportunity to go through the passages leading to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you. You know, we don't like to talk about death in our culture, folks. We don't like to talk about loss and about grief and about pain and about suffering. But I want you to understand something today. In God's sovereign plan, right in the middle of that plan, is the most amazing loss and grief and pain and suffering that you will ever, ever read about. And it came at the cost of His very Son, Jesus Christ. Because only in death would there be life. For those of us that know Jesus Christ, we know that only in death of this life, will we then step into the portal of eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the price for all of that, which calls us to glory, to praise, and adoration. my mom was a little freaked out that we were going to Cancun. Not because Teresa and I party or do whatever they do on spring break. No, she was afraid because of some of the things that she was hearing on the news. And at one point I told her, I said, Mom, well, what does it matter if I die there or here? Someday I'm going to die. And my mom goes, don't talk that way. Spoken like a true mom, right? But in reality, isn't that the truth of it, folks? It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we cling so hard to this that we forget what is yet to come. And Jesus Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. He's left a crimson stain that has washed you and I white as snow. God has a plan, a sovereign plan. And that plan is all about His grace being poured into us so that we in turn might be His gracious ambassadors that live in this earth, so that we can give it back. So that one day, we will stand with the multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes of angelic hosts and believers in Christ and give praise and glory to the only one who deserves it. But let us never forget what had to come in the middle on that horrible day that became the most wonderful day for you and I. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to You today and we want to say thank You. Lord, thank You for Your work, Your amazing, sovereign work, Your plan, Lord, which is all about Your amazing grace, which leads us then, Lord, to a place of following You, of giving You glory, of giving You praise and adoration. But Lord, let us not forget. The Scripture is full of reminders to not forget the cost that had to be paid in order for us to be free, in order for us to be Yours. As we conclude, Lord, there's some things that we're going to do in this service that are stark, stark reminders of how fickle our hearts are and how quickly we are prone to wander from You, the God we say we love. In the words and some of the observances that are just about to take place here, Father, Lord, they're not here, those thoughts, those words, those statements are not here to judge. Lord, they are only here to remind us, Lord, that You have a plan. And it's all about Your grace, which brings us to a place to give You glory and praise. And so we thank You in Jesus' wonderful and precious name.